And it's funny because at every airport, somebody's like, oh, are you a content creator? And I was like, yeah, I run a podcast. And they're always like, oh, I'm a music artist, or I have a content creator here. And like, that's all you need to record? I'm like, yeah, I have an H6 recorder, 3 good mics, and 2 iPhones. Like, oh, I have a lot more stuff now. I was like, yeah, you don't need it.
Rob, and you were begging for budget. So if it's not that hard.
Yeah, no budget. See?
And it's not about being commercial or telling how great we are, but actually sharing the view on where the hospitality is moving towards.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to do. Based on conversational behavior, you actually either have a click or you don't, but it also leads to tremendous good business.
One of the reasons why we believe so deeply in long-form storytelling.
Curiosity conversations.
Omnibus is a platform, it's a data unification platform. Our podcast is our people unification platform.
That's why we believe in the internet the way that we do, is that if we have the courage to talk about the things that we believe in, the technology that can empower our barbecue business, our hospitality business, and yet so many people think, well, does it have to be professional before it hits the internet?
So what did you do?
We just came into San Diego. We're at Cali Barbecue. Shooting some great fucking content and on locations.
How did you set up this? You bring your media team?
Yeah. Oh, we're on the media team.
Yeah, we brought the media team.
The media team.
This guy. Yeah.
The media team's right here.
Yeah. All you need is a couple iPhones and a couple mics and a Zoom report.
But I read an article on Google that said to run a podcast is really difficult.
It's not difficult.
What do you got? You got a mic?
Got a mic.
Mic.
A couple iPhones.
Stands.
Damn.
A few stands. I mean, all this was super easy, and it fits in an easy backpack, and all you need is conversation and cool people. It's not hard to run a podcast. It's not hard to create content on your phone like this.
Rob, and you were begging for budget, so if it's not that hard.
Yeah, no budget. See?
Yeah.
This is called a strategy.
That wasn't the smartest move. Dennis is watching.
I mean, I fought for the budget I had for this.
Fantastic.
The second phone.
Uh-huh. The second phone. See, that's my second phone. Yeah. That's my budget.
Well, I had a funny story. We had this little digital recorder.
Yeah.
And we did it, and you could tell the difference between the two. So then we reshot it, and I used his iPhone, and everyone's like, oh, okay, yep, here's the budget for it.
Fighting for budget, I love
plus
it.
The fact that he now and then loses some stuff, so the phones are easier.
What? Who lost what?
No, if you give him a camera and then, hey, where's the case?
Uh-oh.
I lost the camera case.
Oh, we got a story.
Sorry, Rob, I'll keep on bitching about that now.
NRA
stuff.
Chicago.
Okay, let's go back.
So NRA Chicago.
This is all recorded, right?
Yeah, this is. We're all just going.
Okay, beautiful.
Whatever I do is when we first start talking, I just turn it on because that's where some of the best content comes.
Yeah, that's always the best.
Yeah. So NRA Chicago, my first event going to capture content for Omnibus.
Yep.
And they give me the digital little DJI recorder to do shoot some content. And they all come back, and I give the camera back to one of our other guys to put away. And he's like, Rob, where's the case? It's like, what do you mean, where's the case? You have it. He's like, no, I gave it to you. I was like, fuck that. You have it. And then we look everywhere and realize I lost it somewhere on the floor in Chicago. So that's gone. And then we were in Nashville for an event.
Actually, it's going to be quite of a long story because you do have a spread. So you've got your moments in a row. Then it's okay for a while. And then we start losing some stuff again.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Well, Nashville, we knew it was a problem because on the plane, he won't sit next to me. So this is why when I fly, I wear all black for a very specific reason. In New York, I wear all black because it's New York. When I fly, I wear all black because I am clumsy. So we're on the plane. He's sitting next to me. I'm on the inside. It's 3 seats, and I'm on the inside. And for whatever reason, my Coke's on the there's Coke sitting here.
Did you sit in the middle?
He's in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. It was a last minute flight, so we kind of got screwed up.
You didn't
I'm
give
not
up.
The
you
smallest,
didn't,
but he's a bit bigger than I am.
Yeah.
So,
you didn't give up the.
I offered.
The window?
He took the middle seat.
You're tall too.
Yeah, it's not a problem. It was a short flight.
Yeah,
that's hospitable of you.
Yeah, that's what hospitality is.
You can learn from your founder.
Hey, you know what? It's a founder's mentality. So we're on the flight, and for whatever reason, I needed to grab something out of the seat back pocket. And a normal human would lift it up and lift the tray up and then grab out what you need. I decided to lean over and try to reach between the tray, and I just hit the Coke all over me, and I had to sit in Coke for a 2-hour flight. Coca-Cola, and he's just like had to get a bunch of napkins for me. It's now on every flight. Whenever we get our drinks, he'll always be like, hey, can you get him extra napkins, please? And the flight attendants are always like, what? He's like, he can tell you this story or not, but he's going to need the extra napkins. I'm like, make me.
Usually I'm like, trust me, you'll thank me.
You'll thank me.
Yeah.
And then that same trip, we're in the car, the airport, and I have one of my earbuds in because I always like leave one in to listen to music on the ride over.
And we you're half listening to the conversation and half listening to music?
ADHD brain. Sometimes I need it. Sometimes my full attention is
when
not the best.
When do you tune in? If somebody says something interesting?
Then it's like, hey.
I hear everything. My brain activates when something interesting happens. Yeah. Like I can also sit in a like a restaurant and
I think there should be a whole conversation about earbud etiquette.
Yeah. Well,
earbud etiquette.
So I get on the plane and I'm looking for the other earbud. I pull out my case. I'm like, oh shit. I left it in the hotel room. I lost it in the hotel room somewhere. So I had to get new AirPods. And then that was an excuse to buy new AirPods. And so every time I take them, he's always like, where's your other one? Like the other day we were getting off the flight. I had one in. He's like, where's your other one?
But do you see the lesson in the story that you're telling?
Yeah.
What's the lesson?
Not to wear it. Tune in. Be fully present.
Either fully present to the music or the podcast or fully present with whoever you're in the car with.
I mean.
It's two or zero.
Yeah.
There is no one.
Sean, I must admit, it's good for a laugh.
It's good for a laugh.
Because.
Are you telling me you bring Rob
pull out his power bank and the likes and you're going to make a funny remark. Don't forget the freaking power bank. And then the face goes like this.
What
no, I won't. Yes, he does.
I forgot about that. I also left a power bank too. I've lost two power banks.
Two power banks.
One I left in a hotel room. One I left in an Uber.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on my third power bank in the last 7 months, and I'm pretty sure that it's broken.
But then again, Robbie, the chaos in your brain is testament to the creativity you bring to the team. So that's the plus.
There you go.
I appreciate that. And that's like, you know, there's.
Do you have a checklist?
In my brain or on paper?
Like a
several thousand, son.
Packing checklist.
Oh, no.
No.
My wife is like, my wife has everything packed out and she has like sticky notes that she puts on each outfit. And I just like throw all the black t-shirts in, a couple of pairs of black jeans and a few pairs of shorts and I'm good to go. I probably should have a packing checklist. I do have a podcast checklist. Like that's one thing. All this stuff, like I'm diligent about.
I really hope you don't leave anything here because that'll make a great story.
Most likely.
Most likely.
Y'all going to find something like, this has to be Rob.
This has got to be Rob.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fun.
It is.
It's good. And if you notice, we have the same backpack over there.
Yep.
Which I'm really proud of because we were on that same trip. And his backpack did not fit in the seat in front. It hit the bump and I couldn't go in. And mine just looked perfectly. He's like, what is that magic? And I was like, it's this backpack. And so he's like, next time I come, I want one on the desk waiting for me. So I ordered one. And when he walked in, backpack sitting on his desk in
there
the office. Yeah.
Thanks again.
Yeah, I love it. But that backpack is amazing because it has a second pocket for all the podcast gear. So it's perfectly laid out. Although I always get stopped at TSA for having all my podcast gear.
Really?
Yeah, because it has a laptop sleeve, and then I have the cords, and the mic, and the recorder, and because they're all stacked, usually they always put my bag and check it, like, every time. No, don't know why. That's the only annoying thing.
Podcasting problems.
Yeah. And it's funny because at every airport, somebody's like, oh, are you a content creator? And I was like, yeah, I run a couple podcasts. And they're always like, oh, I'm a music artist, or I have a content creator here, and like, Wait, that's all you need to record? I'm like, yeah, I have an H6 recorder, three good mics, and two iPhones. Like,
Robbie,
oh, I have a lot more stuff now. I was like, yeah, you don't need it.
Robbie, again, budget.
Budget.
Sorry. Okay. Dennis, I hope you're not watching this. Our CFO.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
CFOs love content creators.
Yeah. Well, also.
What's this for?
What's the ROI of this video?
Well, actually, what we've been doing on the podcast and the guests that have been coming in, like good vertical representation. So we're very happy with the podcast.
Really?
Yeah,
tell me
really.
More.
We had like the founder of Amuse. We've got the CEO from Stay In Touch, the chief commercial officer from Citizen M, architects, ambassadors or consultants for the bigger logos and the bigger chains. And it's not about being commercial or telling how great we are, but actually sharing the view on where the hospitality is moving towards.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to do. And yeah, based on conversational behavior, you actually either have a click or you don't, but it also leads to tremendous good business.
It's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we believe so deeply in long form storytelling.
Yeah.
And curiosity conversations.
And that's, I love that you use curiosity conversations, because that is kind of the essence of, you know, Omnibus is a platform, it's a data unification platform. Our podcast is our people unification platform.
People unification?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I like what I foresee long term.
It's good.
Yeah. So what I see long term is,
it's going to be a new clip.
Yeah.
On the teaser.
Well, and like, for example, if, you know, I don't know if we're going to be at Chicago this year or not, but
what do you mean?
What?
Why not?
Just depending on
logistics. CFO. We got to talk
to the CFO. Sean, help us out there.
Dennis, if you're watching this, Omnibus has to be in Chicago. Chicago is the Super Bowl of technology, of restaurants, of hospitality. I didn't believe it myself. This will be our third year going, and we are bringing a team of five.
Yeah.
So we have a team of five. We already have 14 partners that we're going to be working with, and that's cool. Outside. Those are paid partners. We have other partners that we're going to be working with. But Omnibus, like the amount of deals that can be done on the floor, I don't need to tell you guys. I mean,
true.
The magic happens when you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. And we've got
the speed.
Yeah.
Speed.
Yeah. And we're balancing all that out because we were in ITB in Berlin, which is amazing. It's like the size of Web Summit. It's actually bigger than Chicago.
Yep.
And it was amazing. We had so many meetings there. Like this year, he gets to, finally, like we've been talking about going to the ATM in Dubai.
Okay.
And so this year, him and a colleague, our chief strategy officer, who used to work in Abu Dhabi, are heading over to Dubai as we're looking at opening offices in the MENA region and also APAC in Singapore. And so we are trying to figure out what are the best events for the different markets we're trying to grow in and whatnot. So yeah, we love going to events, and it's a big part of our strategy because, like you, shoot content there. Like it's such a great way to also just have amazing conversations. I think we had six podcasts done in ITB. We had one scheduled going in there, and ended up shooting six.
Where'd you do them? In your booth?
Yeah, we did in our booth mostly. Yeah, yeah. I just brought people in.
Everyone, you use iPhones?
Yeah. Everyone's rolling around.
It's very easy, supposedly, for a podcast. So you don't need a lot of gear.
I interviewed the mayor of a significant town in Bulgaria with an iPhone, just an iPhone, no microphones. Literally an iPhone on a coffee table.
Yeah, I've been checking a lot of stuff out, but also when you're outside, like very conversational.
Yeah,
cool.
We do it all.
Really
like,
cool.
The whole idea is when we started, I mean, you're here in Spring Valley. We're off the beaten path. We're not in downtown San Diego. We're not in Gaslamp. We're not next to the Pacific Ocean. We're literally if there was a village in San Diego, we are in the village.
Yeah.
Like there's no other bars. There's no other restaurants. But that's why we believe in the internet the way that we do. Is that if we have the courage to talk about the things that we believe in, the technology that can empower our barbecue business, our hospitality business, people can travel all the way from the Netherlands to come to Spring Valley to our restaurant. I mean, that's the essence of why we do all this stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, once again, you're totally here. Agree. Yeah, I'm here.
You're here. You heard about some crazy barbecue media company, and yet here we are, and we're talking about NRA, we're talking about what you guys are going to do in Dubai, what you guys do in the Netherlands, what you do in New York. And yet so many people think, well, does it have to be professional before it hits the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Too many companies would never do this. They don't have the courage to post it. They don't have the courage to trust Rob.
That's testament to him.
Yeah.
So
it is
the typical,
but it's a testament to you to believe in him.
Yeah, but that's what I've been hearing about also, but the approach is like the servant leadership, being hospitable,
and
believe in people. If I were to know it all myself, why would I hire people or work together with people?
Yeah.
And that's why when we were here, I was like, I immediately texted you. I was like, hey, I know you've been busy because you haven't been.
He's a huge fan, by the way.
I've been a huge fan. Like, we find each other. We have the same DNA. Like the storytellers on Earth, we know each other. People that believe in technology, people believe in taking care of strangers. Like that's what hospitality is for me. It's, for us, The only reason we're in business is because we don't discriminate who comes in our door. If you're hungry and you want food, we're going to do our best to take care of you, and we're going to serve the best barbecue possible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we take the similar approach on the platform.
Yeah. And we love to be able to connect with people, and that's why I was like, we have to, I mean, I text you late. It was like last minute. I was like, hey, I know you've been everywhere lately, but like, hey, can we get some time and, you know, wrestle up some content and also get some grub? And you're like, absolutely. Like, say less. Like, here's my schedule. I was like, perfect. We're doing this. Yep. We're doing this. And here we are. And it's that also ability too. And I think you make a great point. Like, so many people, when we bring up the idea of a podcast, they're like, okay, well, like, give me prep questions and like, gotta have this thing. It's like, no, like, we can do it in like on location. That's like,
funny, you got
the lunch crowd coming in over on the other side of this room. But like, here we are just shooting content. Like, we're shooting at the booth, like hotel lobbies, like sometimes even a coffee shop. And it's like, people are walking by like, oh, what's this? I'm like, I don't care. Like, you guys can listen in. Like, we're here to shoot content, have a conversation. And I'm just big on like the curiosity conversation. It doesn't need to be scripted. And also when it's scripted, it's not authentic. It's not real. And so.
That's so what you did in Montreal. That was cool. We just set up the booth for the podcast, and basically people passing by actually get them into the booth.
Absolutely.
And those were the best conversations.
Always the best.
Non-scripted, coming from the heart. Really good.
Do you have any experience with PR, with public relations?
None whatsoever.
Okay. I just did a video this morning about PR, and I think there's a lot of things that need to change and need to evolve. Mm-hmm. You know, the old legacy media of like, how do you get press and media coverage for your brand? And I know just from the friends that I have that run tech companies, they've told me that when they went to go research to find out how much do PR companies charge, they're charging $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month with no guarantee of placement.
Yeah.
And the placement is even worse because the placement's in a legacy media platform that nobody reads.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, there's 30,000 subscribers that are all hotel operators and they all run restaurants. And you're like, really? Like, do they read the actual email? Did they open the email? Did they see what, you know, Omniboost is about?
No. And you can't instill the feeling, the DNA placed on ad. That's what I truly believe. So hence, fully supportive on the initiatives that he's undertaking with the podcast, being out there. And also, what you were saying, I think that's core to the DNA on what we do.
Yep.
We're not that traditional type of guy. So we actually love to go against the grain.
Yeah. And like, even, you know, we're out here because we're meeting one of our partners. And, you know, a lot of times when you have partner meetings, you like have a partner manager send out, but like also for like the founder and CEO to jump
on
the
plane. Do you guys do any shows over there?
No, we're going to set up next time because Adam was sick. So, wasn't able to
Adam, I'm disappointed. Adam. Adam's been on our show twice, and I had him on early on when the company was just a little tiny company. And then we had him when it was a bigger company, and now it's like
crazy big.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But like, you know, just that, and also for them, like they hosted us and were so hospitable opening up their office. But like for a founder to jump on a plane and travel an 8-hour trip to New York, grab me and take another 6-hour flight. Just to be there. And
how many miles is that?
A lot of miles.
It's a lot of miles.
Bad for the forest, good for the status.
I think 8,000 total was the
8,000 total?
No, I'm 4.7-ish, 7.5-ish.
Okay.
So
it's a lot.
Yeah.
27 hours straight.
27 hours? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's the same for us. For us to get to Bulgaria, my wife,
San Diego, I don't freaking care.
Exactly. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, to go to Bulgaria, you're like, heck yeah, I want to be in those towns.
We podcast from the village.
Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you know, what's great about this is this type of conversation just went on its natural progression into what does it mean to be hospitable? And that's the thesis. And I remember I told him this. I remember we talked last time on your podcast about H2H, human to human.
Yep.
And one thing that I love to discuss with founders, like the both of you, as you're building businesses and doing these things, is what does that mean to build those genuine connections? And why is it so important? Like we've been discussing it here, but I would love to get your take because I think your perspective of this curiosity conversation is like, why is it so meaningful just to like fucking have conversations with people? Like what do you get out of it? Like what is it? How does it feed you to just be curious and talk to people?
So one of my favorite quotes is from the great philosopher Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. A philosophy of Pooh. I read the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will be friends forever. Just you wait and see. And we believe that to our core because so much of the world is transactional based.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, this business wouldn't be here 16 years later. It's lunchtime. It's not busy, but somehow we still exist.
Yeah.
And the reason we exist is that every stranger that comes in here, our goal is to turn them into a friend for life.
Yeah.
Our goal is to not only serve the husband, the wife, but for them when they have children, that the children come here.
Yeah.
And when those children have children, they come here. And that is the root of everything that we do. And that friends forever is something that is why we have curiosity conversations. It's why when we go to a show, we take the time to learn who the person is that's parking the cars. Learn who the person is that's checking the people in. Those people, if you make genuine, you would be shocked at these shows. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that go there. And the people, they're like, they're invisible.
Yeah. But it's similar to, we are in tech, SaaS platform.
Yep.
So friends for life, business life.
Yes.
But it's more about the people behind the business.
Of course.
So, and that's what you want to understand. Also, when you go to a hotel or restaurant, who's operating the front desk? What are they running into? Be curious about them. And then technology is a means to an end.
Yep.
It's not the... But is it? How do you say that? It's not the end. Shouldn't be the end result.
Correct.
It's a facilitator. It's necessary, but it's always about people.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's one of our kind of core mindsets is that like kind of frontline obsession, right? We're obsessed with.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I love getting to be out on location doing these things because we're obsessed with. If you're using our technology, and to be fair, many people don't always know they're using our technology because we're integrating different systems like the POS system to the PMS or the POS to accounting. They don't know that it's our integration that's making sure that the person who runs the books at the end of the quarter is cleaning up. But what we want to know is it making their life easier or more difficult? Because there's tons of problems that could happen. And that for us is so important to be frontline.
Well, that's why it's even more important. If the tech is so good that people don't know the brand or they don't know that it's using it, they need to know the humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if they don't know the humans, then they're not going to recommend you to someone else because it's working so well.
Sean, that has been our challenge since the beginning.
Yes.
I don't want to sound arrogant, but we've got freaking amazing tech.
Yeah.
But it's so good that, let's say, 80% of the people don't even know that we exist.
Yep.
And that's cool as a testament for the tech. But the challenge for a logo or brand perspective is a bit more difficult.
Well, I think that's why what we're talking about here, why we do the work that we do is through those customer testimonials. Because even if the testimonial is, listen, OmniBoost is so good, we don't even know that we use it. Like just an executive saying that is everything that you need.
True. Yeah.
Because everyone else is selling bullshit. They're all selling
a lot of air.
This is our product roadmap. These are the things that we're going to do. This is how we're going to make you better. And people are like, all I care about is my problem.
Yeah.
And you're telling me working with you, you actually remove problems for me? Like, I need more of that in my tech stack.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
absolutely.
Given what we spoke about earlier, we grew quite fast from 4 to 50.
Yeah.
We still are growing. So I would be a blatant liar stating that we aren't facing problems ourselves. But that's always what you were referring to as the frontline obsession, the insurgency. Fix that shit. Be customer facing. Solve that.
It's hard. I mean, at every stage, right?
Yeah.
At every stage.
Also fun.
It's fun. It's, you know, back to the PR for me, you know, making the video about how broken PR is and how broken legacy media is, why we're creating the company that we're creating. The frustration leads to the opportunity.
Yes.
It's like, I'm so frustrated talking to friends of mine that run companies that are wasting money or not getting what they want out of the PR side or the legacy media. It's like, do it yourself. Like, you don't have to pay us, but like, literally, please just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Make the mistakes, learn how to do it, own it. Because if you start now in 2024, what do you think is going to happen in 2029? In 5 years, are we going to be doing less content, less storytelling on the internet?
I don't
know. No. It like remove the platform. The platform doesn't matter. Call it a podcast, call it a video, call it a blog. All we're talking about is having conversations.
It'd be conversational.
That we love.
Yeah.
If you want to have the conversation, then why aren't you recording it?
Yeah. Yeah, true. True. But for us being a Dutch company, you're normally more down to, it's not down to earth, but you know what I mean. Not very outgoing.
Yes.
So it was a mindset switch. And Rob was like, why the aren't we telling the world what we're doing? And loved what you said about the PR stuff. Omniboost was built because of a pure frustration level.
Yeah.
Is we tried a lot of, excuse my French again, shit, didn't work. We just decided we're going to build it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where we are today. 80 countries, well over 5,000 integrations.
5,000 integrations. Yes.
And counting.
Just getting started, to be
honest. I have a question. Omniboost, explain it to my son who's 7 years old.
Explain it to your son.
My son is 7 years old. Explain it to a seven-year-old. What does Omniboost do?
We are, at the core essence, a Google Translate for hospitality. A power plug or a network switch for hotels and restaurants.
He's lost.
Oh, he's lost.
So the best way I explain this...
If I go for a down the route for data unification platform, he's going to be like...
So
I need you... Somebody asked me on one of their shows, a good friend of mine, Jeff Fenster, he runs, he actually just launched a show on entrepreneur. He has an acai bowl company. But he asked me, what is digital hospitality? Explain it to a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't explain it. And I've been thinking about the question ever since, because explaining it to a six-year-old, it's a challenge.
It is.
And we get obsessed with our own lingo of like, it's a PMS, it's digital hospitality. Like, we say all the things that we need to say in the trade shows and the publications. I was like, well, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah.
Like, well, so tell me what you
very
do.
Very true, because I'm actually getting warm right now. It's like, oh, shit.
I don't know what I do.
So here's how I'd explain it to a caveman.
Yeah.
So here's how I explain it to your son is, you know, he goes to school, right?
He goes to school.
And, you know, I'd say, you know, when you're at school, you have conversations with your teachers, you're learning stuff, you're ingesting all that information, you're talking to all the kids at the playground. At the end of the day, when your parents ask you, how was your day? How hard is it to remember all of that?
Yeah.
That's what we do. We help you remember all that because we're capturing all that data and then sending it back to a place where it's stored. So we're actually helping you recall information. So all those conversations you're having that is being subconsciously saved in the back of your mind, we help you capture that so that you can go back and look at it.
That's really good.
Yeah. We help them learn.
Yeah. That's how I'd explain it to a six-year-old. Cool.
Thanks, Rob. Write that in the equity story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
But ladies and gentlemen, Robbie, not Jace.
Is that? That's
how was your day?
What?
How was your day?
My day today so far?
How do you recall your day?
I capture moments. Like, yeah. I remember like specific moments. For example, we had a great conversation this morning over coffee, and it was in that moment of like the, you know, when you have that first sip of coffee and it's like, it's hitting, it was like that. And so that was like a turn on moment of like, we were talking about a big challenge that we're facing internally on alignment and something that we're not big challenge, but it's something we're really working on. And it was a great conversation because we went like 15 minutes of just like, all right, no bullshit ideas. And we boom, boom, boom. And then 15 minutes later, like, holy shit, I think we kind of solved it. You know, it's like,
what's the mission?
Just really alignment of.
For today?
This morning, the people, just some of the people on alignment of like NOAM, EMEA, and APAC support, and just aligning it with our teams and where all the operational pieces need to be to have all the plugs in place. And it was just like, we just kind of wrapped around that. And that was like, that to me was a big moment this morning. And how I, like, those are the things that how I remember it. But I remember that conversation because the coffee that I was having, it was just like that moment of like, I was getting energized.
How do you build alignment with the team?
Build alignment. Actually be there together with the team. That's my core challenge right now, to understand that I've got a frontline obsession. So it's always about the customer being there, but simultaneously, also I've got another job and be more on a high level and be more strategic. So that's where I'm frequently getting my ass kicked by coaches and the like case, stop working on the business. What I am doing is removing the ego. Excuse me for taking some strong language here, but I fucking hate ego.
Yeah.
We're a team. And whether you're in the leadership team, whether you got a C title, or you're the chief dustbin officer,
correct.
I don't freaking care. It's the same mission. It's the same insurgency. And I think that's my major objective right now, growing from a team from 4 to 50, most likely towards 100, making sure we've got that DNA.
Yeah.
Yes, except that things will change. We need to have some structures and SOPs in place, etc. But those shouldn't be leading the business.
Yeah.
The business is being hospitable. and have that core essence, even if we go public, for instance.
Yep.
Things will change, but I don't want the DNA to change. That's my core mission.
It's tough.
It is.
It's never been more challenging. And it starts once you recruit and once mm-hmm. you onboard. Because once they're on board, it's like, how do you reinforce the mission in remote work environments, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have HQ where everyone's coming. And like, this is a global problem.
Yeah.
Google has the problem. Apple had, like, we're all going through, you know, where the pandemic has put us. And it's a challenge.
Sean, there are also so many beautiful opportunities with the people who you interact with. What we learned quite early on, you don't have to be in hospitality to be a team member on our level.
Yeah.
It's about your character. It's your willingness to learn, your eagerness to
buy into the mission.
Yeah. And that's so cool. Seeing guys who are struggling on school, but actually excel on the support level and put them in their power and help them grow. That's the coolest thing to see happening within your own company.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And also, whilst we grow, we've had people in certain places where at some point it wasn't enough anymore. But there's always another type of space, a possibility to contribute to the company. But you need to leave ego behind. Absolutely. We're all serving the business.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, thinking about the creator economy, the media company that we're building, back to the problem and to the opportunity, the fact that a restaurant here in Spring Valley works with people in Denmark,
mm-hmm.
Lucas, who does music for our podcast, for other clients' podcasts. We have someone in the Philippines, JC, who edits video, like my producers in Portland, my writer and other producers in Houston.
Cool.
Like, we're here in Spring Valley with a restaurant. We still have, you know, pit masters and host and manager, all the standard things. But what are we doing on top of our restaurant? It's building a media company, which actually can build us a more sustainable and profitable business into the future.
Yeah. Well, I like what you do is like take the different angle.
Yeah.
And actually run the restaurant business and then focus on the media company.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that we do as well. We don't want to be mediocre.
Correct.
So it's always take different routes. Kick some shins whilst we're at it. Have some fun there. But it's really that. And yeah, what you were saying about remote and the likes, we've got people all over the world.
Yep.
Made a classic mistake. What do we do with control? There's no such thing as control.
No. You can't control anybody. No. Even if they were in the four walls, you still can't control people.
Correct. Culture, yes. Control, no.
Yep.
Well, I know that we could probably sit here and talk for hours. And
I think this is a digital hospitality episode.
Yeah, I think so too. I was going to say, this becomes both, really.
I think this is a digital hospitality. And our audience will appreciate, because they've come with us from when we started in 2017, from Behind the Smoke to, you know, interviewing executives that run the Farmers Insurance Open on a golf cart. You know, you name the event. We've covered musical festivals. We've covered golf tournaments. We've interviewed the CEO of Toast at the sales kickoff with 1,300 people. We've done so many cool things. And for you, Case, to come all the way out here and Rob coming back, like, this is the thesis at work. Like, this is the thesis at work. And the people that listen to our show, they know that no one's coming to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can start right now. And if you start, you can build something really cool, but I just posted, I don't know if you saw the video that Jesse Itzler posted.
Not this
about podcasts.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
So 2 million podcasts on the Apple directory.
Yeah.
25%, 500,000 podcasts, one episode and they quit.
And they quit. So no grit.
One episode.
Yeah.
60% not even published 10 episodes and then they quit. So if that's the competition, and I know that the people that will listen to this, that will watch this, we're a rare breed of people.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, we're never going to stop until we figure it out. And when we figure it out, we're only going to make it better.
Yeah.
It will never stop. But today is the worst day it will ever be.
That's where the fun is, right?
That's exactly where the fun is.
And show some freaking resilience.
Tomorrow it will be better. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. But whatever business you run.
Whatever business you run.
And it's be curious, be resilient. You don't get it right from the start.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. You can read all the freaking books that you want.
Yep.
It's you and your team.
Yeah, and doing it, right? Putting in the work, because life comes at you fast and you have to just go through it. You have to just try. And it's sometimes scary. It's scary to get in front of a camera. It's scary to tell your story. It's scary to find a topic and just rap on it and feel like you might say the wrong thing. But it's that curiosity in the conversation that when you build it and do it, it magic happens, right?
Like, yeah, but that's one thing that I still need to learn. Like keynotes is like
what?
Doing a keynote.
Why are you worried?
I don't know.
What are you worried about?
I really don't know. It's getting better. It's getting better.
Do you want to know what the answer is?
Yeah.
I'll tell you the answer to keynotes. Tell a story.
Yeah.
The problem with keynotes and the problem with speeches and the problem with podcasts is we get there with an objective. And back to the PR angle and media people, this is what the content's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Tell us a fucking story. Tell us a story. And in that story, there's a lesson. And the better that you get, this is the real trick. The better that you get at telling the same story that has a good lesson, that becomes the story that your team shares.
Yeah.
That's the story that your customers share. Find the story, learn the story. You know, think about Netflix. When a comedian, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, when they get on their Netflix special, how many times have they told the joke?
Tens of thousands of times.
They've iterated on which word to use, which adjective to use, how to say it, how loud to say it, when to pause. That's all a keynote is.
Yeah.
Think about like a preacher. Think about somebody that, you know, a politician, like the great orators.
Yeah.
It's all storytelling.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that's what it is. Like, you basically get an objective and be not conversational. It's like tell X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And when you start, when I start talking, it's like, fuck that shit.
But when you tell,
I'm not a true believer, but.
And even more believable, it's your story.
Yeah. Well,
holy shit. Like,
and it is a story. A legit one. Yeah,
what do you need? Like, I don't need to prep.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, that's
what do I need to prep for?
Yeah.
I lived it.
Yeah.
People want to know about how do we get a deal with Toast? How are you on the Toast Customer Advisory Board? How did you get invited to the IPO with Toast?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story about
Fear is gone. Thank you, Sean.
Me and my general manager unboxing Toast equipment and putting it on a podcast and putting it on LinkedIn. And now we have a Toast. I'm the Toast unboxing guy.
Cool.
But there's no reason to ever. You're in your head.
Yeah, it wasn't. I totally agree. But it's also, I believe the Omniboost story, but it was dry. It's not you. Who I want to be.
Yeah.
And it's you in the story.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And it's a problem. So, and I'll be honest.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just had my Freud session.
I will be honest with you because we've done this show, Digital Hospitality, you know, since 2017. And I've been fortunate to meet so many incredible tech founders. And the problem that they have, because a lot of them have, you know, an engineering background. A lot of them aren't extroverts.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a podcast and they're learning how to tell their story. But a big problem that they have is that they want the product to win. They want the product to speak for itself. And no one gives a shit about the product. They care about you
and the story. Yeah.
They care about Case.
Yeah.
They care about Adam Harris. They care about Iman Narang and Steve Ferdette.
Yeah.
And like the more that Iman and Steve get out in front of content and start to tell their story instead of waiting, and it's harder as a publicly traded company, there's a lot more stakeholders. So
governance,
a lot of different stories you have to tell. But ultimately, I mean, think of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. We know who they are.
Yeah.
And obviously we know the brand.
Yeah.
But if you look on social media, does the entrepreneur or the brand have more followers? Every single time the entrepreneur has more followers.
That's what we see on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah. And I was going to say that was one thing.
Every single time.
Yeah.
We've been driving.
That's true.
Because no one wants to hear from Microsoft. No one wants to hear from LinkedIn. No one wants to hear from Apple.
Yeah, true.
They do. But do they really want to hear from the person, like even more so, all the humans within the organization?
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, I know someone at Apple.
Yeah.
I follow him. He puts all this cool stuff out.
Yeah.
Or I know someone at GoPro. Like, you name the brand, whatever the brand is.
Yeah.
Humanize it.
That's something that we really want to establish. It's like, it's not Rob's game. It's not my game.
It's all of our
game. It's Omniboost. We're a team.
Every single sales rep is in marketing. And every marketing person is in sales.
Yes.
We're all in storytelling.
Guys, listen.
It's a company memo.
I'm trying to remember. I think somebody wrote a book on that one point in time. I don't know.
I didn't know the guy.
What's it called? Oh, wait, hold on. I've got a question.
Yeah.
So I was doing my due diligence and I heard both of your interviews. Actually, the one interview. Did you have two interviews?
With him?
With Case.
Yeah, one on the Bare Necessities, my other podcast, and then one on our podcast.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I heard them both.
Yeah.
So you got hired because you wore a white tank top to the interview?
No. It's yes.
Is that right?
So I did.
You wore a white tank top to the interview?
Not the interview. We did. So
that was when you first met him.
Second time. First time we met,
Can I?
See, I wanted to clear this up because there was an argument.
We were running a catalyst program. Yeah.
A what?
A catalyst program.
Okay, so accelerator.
Dutch company wants to go to the States, blah, blah, blah. The tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, right? So I was like, that's never going to happen to me. Every freaking wall I managed to hit and learn from. But then there was a session about marketing, telling your story with a guy called Rob Napoli. And he appeared like, and Rob is Rob, right?
You get all, that's all you get.
Poof, and I was like, I fucking love this guy. This is cool. The vast majority was like, we're not sure. And we immediately...
I came in
But
hot.
He was wearing a white tank top.
No, that was the second time. Okay, and he met the rest of the smaller team then. And also those guys were like, and...
Well, the lesson of the story is that the white tank top seemed to have made an impression on you.
It did.
And whatever came out of your mouth.
The bun.
The bun.
Bun man.
But like, so after that session, we like set up a call to like talk with his team. So before I started Omniboost, I did some consulting with them. Strategic advisor for the company for 3 years, and that first time I met the whole team and set up a call to like see like how I can help with them, I showed up as a Friday, and for me a Friday is their tank tops and my hair's down, and so I show up to the city.
You're very specific, you know that?
Yeah,
he is.
Like, I fly on a plane with black, I wear black in the city.
Yeah,
you're wearing black in San Diego.
Yeah,
what's
Sean, that's like the top 5% that you're hearing right now.
So yeah, that was my Friday thing. And so I showed up to this meeting and I was like, well, they're either going to love me or they're going to hate me. And then, you know, we became friends and did some work together. Actually, Case was my first client after I sold my sales organization, Hap Day Group, and started Rise Up Media, my first client was Case. And after that meeting, he called me back. He was like, hey, let's do some work together. He's like, oh, and by the way, someday I'm going to hire you. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. 3 years later, he came to New York and
like your style.
Hey, let's go. Like
calling your shot early. I like it. I do that too.
So that was kind of how we met.
Yeah, exactly. You got to put it out there.
Yeah. So that was it. That was the story. But yeah, the rest of the team was like, who is this American guy? Hair down, tank top, white tank top, just like showing up on screen. And Case was just like, okay. So
Case, when we look back on this interview, this is 2024, before National Restaurant Association show, in 1 year, what does Omniboost look like?
Omniboost looks like a company that's actually following up on their what they wanted to
on
to
the
do,
mission.
On the mission, it's we've got one tagline that's world freaking domination, and we're just gonna make that one happen. Is we're always innovating, always. So it's not fixed. We have the growth mindset, and we basically make tech work for hotels. Grow the States, obviously, that's something that I really want to do. I envision myself as being here, actually living here.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
going
to
be living in New York, right?
Yeah. No, not yet. But
not yet.
I've got an e-visa pending.
For the next year? It's happening. It's possible.
Yeah, it's happening. And the company as a whole is, we will be the platform, the one platform that rules the data in hospitality
Amazing.
Tech. I'm not settling for anything less.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, not I. Not I. We.
Okay. So let's make sure we get connections. So how do people connect with you, Rob?
Yeah. LinkedIn is the best.
LinkedIn?
Yeah. Rob Napoli, or my website, robnapoli.com, has all my links to everything, including Omniboost as well. So, and then also definitely, all the socials. I love it.
And what's the show?
Hospitable.
We'll put links in the show notes
cool, nice.
For everything. And then Case, which platform are you most
primarily active? LinkedIn.
Writing, video, what are we doing?
Posting only.
Posting
yeah,
only.
Yeah, so I'm getting my ass kicked already. Okay. Like,
this
you
is
need
a
to do more.
Yeah, this yeah. Is a secondary.
Yeah.
Every founder, it's like, it's literally the best way to network.
Yeah.
I mean, how many connections videos. Do you have? Give or take.
Whoa.
Thousands?
Yeah.
22, something like
if
that.
If you wanted to go and speak to 1,000 professionals, how much money would you have to pay right now for OmniBoost?
A lot of money.
Yeah. But you could do it literally right now. You could post a video that potentially thousands, tens of thousands of people could
see. Sean, that's actually what we see because when, he,
Isn't
when
it crazy?
We do send out a video, 10,000 likes
yeah.
or viewers.
Yeah.
Easy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But like you said, we, and this is what, once again, testament to him, is not be traditional.
Yes.
Don't follow the standard PR methodology or whatever.
Yep.
I think that's why, not blowing smoke up your behind, but that's why he's a fan of yours.
Yep.
You're also going against
We're kind of disruptors.
Yeah. Yeah, disruptors.
1,000%.
Yeah, no one came to tell our story, so we decided to tell it ourselves.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Well, since we're going to be dropping this on our show, how do people find you?
Easy. Sean P. Walchef, SHAWNPWALCHEF. I'm weirdly available. So if you listen to this, if you watch this, connect with me. I'll send you a Calendly link. I want to know what you're building, where in the world you're building it. And who knows, we could be podcasting at your part of the world. You could be here in Spring Valley enjoying barbecue. You never know. This is how...
I'll write a follow-up
friends
for the
forever.
Barbecue.
Friends yeah. forever. Remember Winnie the Pooh.
I absolutely love it. Sean, thank you so much for hosting and being so hospitable and letting us swing by, take up part of your day. We appreciate you, man. I always love getting to just chop it up with you. I know I could sit here for hours and chop it up with you. So appreciate you letting us come by and for your team to just make it all happen, being super accommodating and just whatever we needed. It was awesome. So appreciate you.
We got it.
And thanks for the lesson.
You got it. Oh, yeah. We're expecting. We have big things.
Okay. He's gonna tape it.
You're going to be videoing the keynote.
Yes.
And we want to hear the story.
Deal.
And we want to see the story evolve.
Deal.
Evolve. All right. We're going to enjoy some barbecue. We appreciate you guys. Stay curious. Get involved. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Peace.
Bye, guys.